Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember back when you got that really awesome Christmas gift, perhaps as a child, that train set that went around the Christmas tree, or those Star Wars action figures, or the Millennium Falcon, or the Wii and that Mario Kart game. Then one day you got your first car. Then one day you went on your first date. You had your first girlfriend or boyfriend, person you didn't just call went on a date with, but somebody who was your boyfriend or a girlfriend. You had your first kiss. All these things, these gifts, these experiences, they made you feel out of this world. Awesome. And then something strange seems to happen, doesn't it? One day you wake up and you're just not as excited about the train set anymore. And a year goes by and you realize you didn't even put it around the Christmas tree. It's still in the box down in the basement. The action figures, they're worn. You're not as excited about them. They sit in a box in your closet. The excitement seems to wear off of these wonderful gifts. The car, it gets you from A to B, but you're just not as excited about the smell or the radio or whatever it is. Even the excitement of that first date, the first kiss, the first girlfriend or boyfriend, even that excitement's worn off. You break up with your first boyfriend or girlfriend, or they broke up with you. You find somebody else to date. You're just not as excited about these things as you once were. You find yourself grumbling about the things the way they are in your life. And that's just the way life seems to be. That's just the way life is. The excitement wears off of things. Why is that? Well, that's the way life was after Exodus 14 and after Exodus 15. God had just done this amazing thing, a miracle. Israel saw it with their own eyes. They didn't just see it. They walked on it, dry ground through the Red Sea, walls of water, to safety, to freedom from slavery. They saw with their own eyes the water come down over 600 chariots of the most powerful country, Egypt. They saw with their own eyes God destroy this magnificent army. They were free. Free. They were safe. And they were excited. They were filled with joy and jubilant worship happened. They sang and confessed this Yahweh as their mighty God, thanking and praising Him with tambourines. They were free and He was their God. And one chapter later, 1 month later in the story, Exodus 16 shows us a different Israel. A miserable Israel who no longer is excited about its God who brought them up out of Egypt. They're hungry, and so instead of asking God for food, as they asked Him to bring them out of slavery, and He did, instead of asking God for their daily bread, they grumble at Him. They complain at Him. They even accuse Him. They wish they were back in Egypt. They even said, oh, that we had died by the hand of God. They rather would have been struck with plagues. Back in Egypt, they complained, we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Oh, how they quickly forgot. They were in slavery. Oh, how they have forgotten their hard and harsh labor. How the way the Egyptians treated them. The excitement of their great escape from Egypt. The excitement of God's mighty hand saving them from a powerful Egypt through great and mighty wonders. The excitement of worshiping this God together as one nation, one voice, in freedom and safety. It all had faded away in 1 month. One chapter. Israel was not excited about Yahweh being their God. Israel was not excited about Moses being their leader. And so Israel begins to grumble and mumble against Moses and against Yahweh, this is the way their life had become. But this is not the way Yahweh, or what Yahweh had saved them for. He did not save Israel from Egypt, from slavery, for a life of grumbling and complaining. Nor did he call you or me to be his children, to live a life of bumbling and grumbling in this world. You see, there is a beautiful surprise right at the beginning of his word of how God created us to be. God created us to be in a life that's very good. Not just good, but very good, perfect. And when it was, Adam and Eve, our first parents, they were always thankful, always excited, always content about all the things that this God had given to them. They saw all they were given, they saw it always as very good. Everything was a very good gift from a very good God. This is how God created us to be, and this is his desire for us in this life too. This is what paradise is for us. But we've lost the ability to always be thankful, always to be excited, always to be content towards our God and his gifts. We've lost paradise. Adam and Eve's sin, now conceived into our DNA, has become our sin. Our sin gets in the way of us appreciating our God, appreciating his gifts, appreciating all the things he does for us. Our sin in our DNA gets in the way of us being excited about our God. It gets in the way of our ability to be thankful for what he does and does give. Oh, we may appreciate for a moment here and there the thing that we're hoping for that he gives us, the new car, the good grade on the test, the snow day right in the middle of the week, the college scholarship, a new job, a date with the girl or that boy that we want, the healing from a major surgery or injury. But then sooner or later, it does not matter what he does for us, we get bored, discontented with what God has done and what God has given and what he continues to give. We, like our first parents, we, like Israel, we're never fully content to have what we have, to have what we need, what our God has given, what our God has done. We always want more. We want it now. We don't want him to say no. We don't want him to say wait. We don't want to have to ask. We want him to just give what we want when we want it. We want to be God. And when we want to be God, we not only hurt our very good God, we hurt others. In fact, we hurt the ones we love most, the ones we're supposed to love from our perspective. You know, our kids, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our classmates, our co-workers, our search for happiness, our search for stuff, our wanting to be like God causes us to discard all that God gives us, all the blessings he gives us, into a pile of grumble. And our lives become miserable. But this is not what our God has saved us for. He has not called us to be children walking around in this life bumbling and grumbling. But there is a real surprise in God's word when we see just how our God responds to Israel. God responds to Israel's grumbling by giving them bread from heaven every morning, as much as they want. We don't know exactly what manna was, but it's from God, and it's from heaven. It had to taste pretty good. And quail at night, meat to eat every evening, bread from heaven in the morning as much as you want, meat in the evening as much as you want. In the evening, Moses and Aaron would tell Israel, you will truly know that it's Yahweh who's your God who brought you up out of Israel, not some chance. You didn't walk through the Red Sea by chance. Egypt did not get destroyed by chance. You will know it's Yahweh. In the morning, you will see his glory because he's heard your grumbling. Israel grumbles against God, and in spite of their grumbling, he responds by giving them bread, as much as they want, from heaven. And this tells us a lot about our God. It tells us that our God, Israel's God, is an amazing grace God. Amazing grace God. He is amazing in providing for their every need, for sure. We've seen that. But he's even more in amazingly providing it while they don't deserve it. They don't deserve his bread from heaven as much as they want in the morning and meat as much as they want at night in a wilderness. They deserve the plagues. They deserve lightning bolts and wrath. And yet he offers bread from heaven and meat every evening. Their daily bread, all they need, all they want, in spite of their grumbling. God feeds this really large nation of Israel, some million people in the wilderness with no help needed. He doesn't need farming equipment, fishing poles and fishing hooks. He doesn't have the men go out and hunt. He doesn't need that stuff. He's God. He provides bread in the morning, meat at night, in the wilderness. God feeds them with his own hand. Now there was another large crowd in another wilderness years later. And one of Jesus' disciples said it would take 8 months' wages to buy enough bread for everybody to have just one bite. Jesus takes a few small fish and a few loaves of bread and tells everybody, sit down. Jesus then gives thanks. Jesus then feeds 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, so that everybody not just got a bite, but everybody ate all they wanted and were satisfied, and there were 12 basketfuls left over, one for each disciple, to see with his eyes and experience and hold a whole basket of leftovers. Don't ever tell Jesus we don't have enough to feed the crowd. He shows the greatness of this God now walking in the flesh, providing for his people. And then this same crowd, amazed by the power of Jesus, who confesses, this truly is the prophet. This is better than Moses. They follow Jesus, and the very next day, they come to Jesus, this big crowd, the same crowd, and say, Jesus, give us a sign so you can prove to us you're the one. And Jesus pretty much says, I just gave you a sign. Believe in me, and you'll never go hungry. That's not good enough. They want a sign. They say, Moses gave a sign. He provided bread from heaven. Jesus responds, Moses did not provide bread from heaven. My Father in heaven gives the true bread from heaven. And then Jesus utters this amazing statement, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Just come to me. And then the same people who Jesus fed, who ate and were satisfied, who actually ate, they tasted the goodness of Jesus, and they were satisfied. They start grumbling against, not Moses, Jesus. Why? Because he claimed to be the bread of life. They didn't want Jesus to be the bread of life. They just wanted Jesus to give them whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted it. They grumble. And Jesus reminds them, your ancestors did eat that manna, that manna from heaven, but what happened to them? They still died. Spoiler alert, Moses died too. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, Jesus says. Whoever eats This bread will live forever. In fact, Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. Your ancestors ate manna from heaven and they died. But whoever eats of me on this bread of life, he and she will live forever. Jesus offers them everything, even eternal life, resurrection from the dead. Jesus offers himself as the bread of life. He offers them paradise restored. They already ate from him. They tasted with their mouth. They know how good it was. Bread from heaven. And they were satisfied. But then, just as Israel's excitement about walking through dry ground to freedom had faded, this crowd who ate from the miracle hands of Jesus, their excitement fades away. And guess what happens? They start grumbling and arguing, and they leave Jesus. They walk away from him. It's kind of funny. Not funny, haha, but funny, ironic. God gives freely to all people who come to him and ask. Every generation, you read the Bible, anybody who comes humbly to God and asks, he gives always freely as much as they need. Jesus gives to all who come and ask. And Jesus always gives as much as you need. He comes even in the flesh to give, to be the very bread of life for all who need. He even promises to raise our dead bodies to eternal paradise, paradise restored, and yet people still turn away from Jesus. People today still turn away from Jesus. Moses was a truly great leader. And the people of Jesus' day, they wanted another Moses. But their ancestors weren't satisfied with Moses because Moses couldn't satisfy Israel. He couldn't save them from their eventual death. He himself died. Only God could satisfy Israel's hunger and thirst and desire for everything and anything else. And the same God of Israel, now in the flesh, now in the person and nature of Jesus of Nazareth, he brings ultimate satisfaction, ultimate contentment and joy. He feeds this crowd out of nothing. A couple small loaves of bread, a couple small fish, and they're satisfied. He offers himself as their God in the flesh to be their bread of life, and they reject him and they turn away. They choose a miserable life of bumbling and grumbling, and here is the real big surprise. The real big surprise. This Jesus still goes to the cross and dies for them. He didn't change his mind after this experience. 5,000 plus people rejecting you. Imagine if Jesus was a candidate running for president and only got 5% of the vote of the primary. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to go to the cross. Jesus gets less than 5% of the votes after he does not give this crowd what they want. And he still goes to the cross. He still dies a perfect death for them and for you. Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection shows that he is the true bread of life. He saves all who believe in him from death. He has saved you and me in spite of our bumbling and grumbling. He's forgiven our bumbling and grumbling. And he saved us from a life of bumbling and grumbling. He saved us for a life of very good, of perfect. Paradise restored. For eating and drinking and being satisfied all the time, happy and excited all the time, by being fed by his hands, freely given, freely giving all you need, all you desire, as you let him be God. So don't be like Israel. Don't be like the crowd. Don't turn away from the bread of life. this Jesus. Because only Jesus can overcome the grumbling nature that lives in our DNA. Only Jesus can forgive the grumbling nature that lives in our DNA. Only Jesus died for the grumbling nature that lives in our DNA. Only Jesus can make you and me see that everything, even those broken toys, even they are very good when they're enjoyed in Jesus, seen as a gift from Jesus. And all the people he puts in our lives, even the ones we don't love by nature, are very good when they're in Jesus, seen in Jesus. Everything from the warmed up meal in the microwave is very good from Jesus. The glass of water that's just free from the water fountain is very good in Jesus. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, Jesus said, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. This is most certainly true. And you want to know the last surprise? The really most awesome last surprise that I'm going to mention. Jesus has come here today to feed you. He offers himself today as your bread of life. He's prepared the table today. Simple bread and simple wine, but with his promise, his body and blood that forgives your sins and raises your body to eternal life, paradise restored. He is the true bread of life. So please be seated. His table is ready for you to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.